From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week, the European Union moved forward with one of the biggest challenges to Alphabet since it was still called Google and it was buying the company Android back in 2005. The EU is concerned about Alphabet's Android operating system and whether it goes against the body's rules about competition. It could lead to $7 billion in fines for the company. The BBC's Rory Ketlin-Jones has been following this. Hello, Rory.
Hello there.
So this is a big deal for Google, potentially, if the EU follows through with these charges.
Yes, and it's the latest in a whole series of conflicts between Google and the EU. The EU seems to be really staking its claim to be the toughest competition regulator in the world. It's done it before by really taking the lead against Microsoft 10 years ago. This is the latest in a series of actions against Google.
What is the EU's argument here? Effectively, that Google, through its partnerships with hardware makers, is forcing people to use Google apps on the Android system?
Yeah, what it's saying is that when it sort of licenses manufacturers to put Android on phones, it comes with preconditions, notably that they pre-install Google apps. And the effect of that is that you've got a whole, you know, population which is effectively being told that Google is the default way to search the internet. And that is harming competition and stifling innovation and shutting rivals out.
Where does this go from here when we're talking about this particular complaint against Google and potentially how it could affect other tech companies?
What we get first of all is Google gets a chance to respond. That takes about 12 weeks. We potentially have public hearings. I'm not entirely sure that this will directly affect other technology companies. It's kind of the EU yet again putting a stake in the ground saying, we're looking at market dominance in various areas and we don't like the look of it, and we especially don't like it if people use that to shut out the competition.
We'll see where it goes. Rory Ketlin-Jones of the BBC. Rory, thank you very much.
Thank you.
As the EU continues its hard look at Alphabet's operations abroad, we thought we should ask some users here about their smartphone behavior and their feelings regarding preloaded Google apps.
It doesn't seem like they have an unfair advantage in my world, because the ones that are easiest to use and work the best will always rise to the top, especially if they're free.
I usually oftentimes don't even pay attention to the apps that are pre-installed on the phone.
And if they are good apps, then it doesn't matter whether that would actually slow down any other company or anything.
I never went out and bought an app. I used what's there.
If you're like that last guy, you won't ever see our awesome Marketplace app. But if you're not like him, you can get it on Apple's App Store or Google Play. Intel announced this week it is cutting 12,000 jobs from its workforce. The company is now the largest chip maker in the world. We know their ads with employees singing bum, 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 but Intel has been struggling. On the one hand, the company's strength has been making chips for personal computers, problematic when everybody's gone mobile. On the other is the apparent slowing of Moore's Law, named for Intel co-founder Gordon Moore and defined by the doubling of computing power per area of a chip every 2 years. David C. Brock is director of the Center for Software History at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. David, is this our fault for wanting new stuff, or scientists' fault for not keeping Moore's Law going?
You could say, again, it's kind of the fault of silicon that there's this uncertainty. And what's happening is features on these chips, things that they're printing on them, are getting to be like they're, you know, less than half the diameter of like a flu virus.
Yeah. This week, with this new announcement of cutting its staff, Intel CEO Brian Krzanich said he wants the company to pick the pace back up. What are the challenges other than what you've already described?
Well, making this move to the latest generation of the printing technology, that was hard. And so, therefore, it was expensive. So the process to achieve that cost reduction took longer. And so I think if I'm understanding Intel's restructuring plans now, they hope to get it back on track to, what we've been more accustomed to for the past 60 years or 50 years.
Do you think they can do that?
You know, they're making some economic restructurings, but there is just this continuing baseline, enormous yearly multi-billion dollar investment in chemical printing technology. So part of the restructuring may be about realizing this sort of continuous violation of Murphy's Law, where you're making things smaller, better, and cheaper.
You said, just to double check there, you said Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
You meant it.
You can think of Moore's Law as a continuous violation of Murphy's Law, where, you know, you would think that if you're doing something, you know, Murphy's Law is if something can go wrong, it will.
It will this go wrong.
This is kind of like a continuous violation of that. That is a quip that I am stealing from Gordon Moore himself, which I should note.
David C. Brock is director of the Center for Software History at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. He is also the author of a biography of Gordon Moore. Mr. Brock, thank you for talking with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Moore's Law is best known in the personal computer world. So is the idea of Leroy Jenkinsing.
It's Leroy Jenkins!
Oh my God, he just ran in.
That moment from World of Warcraft inspired lots of memes. It's come to mean taking a leap that catches others by surprise. Still makes me chuckle. This bit of Leroy Jenkinsing is from the console world. The Xbox 360 is no more, at least not on Microsoft's production lines. The company made a surprise announcement this week saying it would stop making that version of the console. Its graphics are now eclipsed by the Xbox One's. Its games can now also be played on the Xbox One. Either way, an era ends. Somewhere out there, a gamer wonders if their 360 will soon be collectible.
Mint condition.
Don't hold your breath. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.